Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you live this Wednesday, March 21st, and we'll bring the men on. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. Glad to be back.
Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening to you, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know we have a couple callers, so when they get in, I'll sure let you know, men, and I'll be listening in. Till then.
All right, well, thank you, Richard. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about doing the supernatural works of Jesus, helping those get set free through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. Good evening, Pastor. We haven't talked for a while. I'm glad to be back on the air with you.
Well, good to be aboard, and a wonderful weather down here. It's a beautiful day. How about up there?
We've had some pretty good weather as well. It was supposed to have some good weather this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. But I saw you got some fishing in. You sent me a picture. I don't know if you meant to rub that in, but but I'm glad you got to enjoy your time in that great weather.
Well, you know, it was spring break for you guys apparently last week, and it seems to be this is our week, and had activities with the grandkids here, and just having a really good time going to a history museum tomorrow in Oklahoma, and some of the grandkids. But yeah, we caught 29 fish. Three were crappie, and one of them topwater that I caught was 5.15 pounds. So I'm kind of beating my chest.
Well, you did fishing for fish. Today we're doing fishing for men. And
amen.
Fishes of men. You know, I was reading this week Mark chapter 5, and I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that chapter. It's got some pretty powerful things that Jesus did in his life, and it's got the story of the demoniac at Gethsemane, the one that had legion, the many demons in him cast out by Jesus. Also has the stories of the woman that was healed by touching the garments of Jesus, and a woman being raised, her little girl being raised from the dead. And what's great about those true life stories of Jesus recorded in the Gospels is, greater works than these you shall do also. So if you haven't read chapter 5 in a while of Mark, I encourage you to go out and read it again, because the Word says, greater things than these he will do, you will do also, those that believe and can come in my name. And we give praise to you, Lord Jesus, for that. Now, Pastor, I did catch something in the book of chapter 5. It says, as he was getting into the boat, this is verse 18, as he was getting to the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. And is that not what we're doing here on this radio program week in, every week coming on there, bringing people on the show who has told and report of what the Lord has done for them? And there's nothing new under the sun. We just have a different venue for doing that, and I just wanted to point that out, because that is, Jesus said, go testify. Go testify.
Amen. And we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that is what this is a testimony show. You know, people argue with their theological thoughts and theologic activities out there. They argue over it. But when it gets down, you know, the word is still true. And as we follow it, supernatural things happen. So here we go again with more testimonies to build faith. There's nothing like hearing as someone was set free of something and then realize they had the same problem. And, of course, the thought goes through their head, well, maybe I could get free as well. And they'll seek out, like that woman with issue of blood, her faith had built to the point. She'd heard enough. Obviously, she'd heard about Jesus and what was happening. And her faith had built to the point that she was truly reaching out. And that's what it takes, we find, for successful ministry. You know, when the people call and say, I need help, I'm ready, somebody help me. Well, we can take them by the hand and go through the ministry steps that we've learned over these years and see their life turned around. That's what keeps us doing it. Quite frankly, if it didn't work, we'd have quit long ago. We've been doing the Monday night sessions 34 years now using Teams, and last year we had 776 ministry sessions that were recorded. And, of course, we all do a certain number that are never recorded. We're ministering all the time in the Teams as well, in their own churches and during the week and so on. Once you learn these ministry steps, you're ready to go forth into the world ministering to the hurting people.
Amen. And those ministry steps can be learned by going to deliveranceusa.com. All the training is available there online. The prayers are there for download to be able to print off. Even the sheet, if you can't remember what steps to go in, he's even got what I call like a little cheat sheet. It's not so much, more like not a cheat sheet, a check-off list. So you could check off that you could, okay, I remember to do this, I remember to do this. And so all that's available at deliveranceusa.com. Also, you can get the book that Pastor Cox wrote called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that from Scriptures for America. Give Richard a call at 307-742-7582, and he will get that copy out to you if you don't already have it. But, you know, another thing I was thinking about in that Mark 5, Pastor, is Jesus said testify, and you had said the testimonies are there. If it wasn't important for testimonies, I don't think Jesus would have said go out and do it. I mean, he goes out and says to testify because it does. It does build faith. It does increase. And who knows? That testimony could have been what led to that woman to say, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm going to reach out and grab that garment. I mean, she was so convinced through testimonies of what she had heard that if she had just simply reached out and touched his garment, that she would be healed. And that is some serious, serious faith right there. and it only came because she heard. She heard things, and faith comes by hearing the word, and people went out and they testified about the living word who was walking among us and was able to cast out a demon that apparently everybody in the neighborhood knew about him. And that was just awesome to think about, that that happened then, and it happens now. So praise the Lord on that.
Yes, and of course we're on this side of the cross, you and I. We can apply the shed blood from the Lamb, where we do have all power over these demonic entities, even the promise that nothing will harm us. And so how exciting to be, you know, the people of the Old Testament, they didn't have what we have. Praise God, we're able to speak in the name of Jesus and take authority over these situations and the demonic and the healing need and speak directly, just as Jesus did. It's so, I have to pinch myself, ooh, little me, having the power of attorney from Jesus. Well, that's the way it is. As we speak in his name, it's like Jesus speaking. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It is. In my name, you shall do these things. And, Pastor, I know that you guys were doing that this Monday. Do you have any testimonies of what happened Monday before our first caller came on?
Well, I was not there Monday. I've taken the week off. And so I know we had 12 on the list, the last I heard. Of course, sometimes there's walk-ins that never did call in. For so many years, we've averaged around a dozen. So I imagine we wound up doing that many and had a minister for each. But I haven't had a chance to check yet to see how it all went. I'm sure it went well.
I'm sure it went well, too, because I've seen the smiling faces as they come out of there on Wednesday night. And, you know, you don't have to go to Oklahoma City to receive deliverance. Obviously, if you live close enough, they're welcome to go there. But one of the goals that we've had with doing this show is to get people interested in deliverance, get people trained in deliverance. And hopefully one day we meet a network of deliverance ministers across this nation that you can go to. But I will tell you that if you happen to come to the Branson Gathering this year, there will be men there that are trained in deliverance. And so if you're interested in deliverance or coming to the Branson Gathering, get with Richard at the ministry there, and he'll get with me, and we'll make sure we get something set up for you. So
yes.
Wanted to get that
I
out.
I visited, Ralph, I visited with a man in Nebraska that's been used to be down in Oklahoma, but he's gone through training, and he's doing a ministry up there, and he called me about a particular case, and you know, some ideas there with that lady that needs ministry. But it's interesting to see as people go through the training, next thing you know, they're out in some other state doing it. So,
yep.
Or wherever. And
yep.
And that's the whole idea of the gospel. Amen.
It is. One person telling another, and another telling another, and another telling another. That's how word of mouth is, without a doubt, the best form of advertising. And that's what we're doing, is we're Christians. We're advertising. We're advertising our God, in a way. We're ambassadors for him, and we're getting the word out, the things that are needed. So, Pastor, we have Mark here. Mark, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Hi, Everett.
Hi, Mark. I'm glad you called in. Yeah, if you could just go ahead and give us some history on yourself, Mark, and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences that you had in the ministry area. So just go right ahead.
Okay, great. So the short version of my story is that I grew up hearing about Jesus since I was real little in Amarillo, Texas, and pretty much everyone in my family believed in him, but I received the Lord at a Church of Christ when I was 11, got baptized, and but you know, there was some legalism in the Church of Christ, and also some you might say, the anything goes spirit in my family. Kind of the once saved, always saved, so you can do whatever you want with your life kind of thing. And I didn't know my real father and things like that. He left when I was about 4. Had a pretty good childhood with my adopted dad and family and my mom and everything, but I ran from God for about 20 years, from age 14 to about age 34, and during a lot of that time I tried to be a professional musician. Couldn't play music in the Church of Christ, and that was a thing that the Lord really put on my heart, but I didn't know how to do it in church, so I basically ran from God and tried to be a rock star eventually. I didn't tell myself that, but that's what I was doing. I was doing it for myself. And my first encounter with the demonic was when we went to go record an album. Basically, none of us had slept for a long time. We were driving from Oklahoma to New Jersey, and basically we tried to take a nap in this van, and our drummer wanted to listen to this very demonic music, Black Sabbath, this album called Paranoid, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to fight him about it, so I just sat there and tried to just deal with it. And that's when I heard a demon for the first time, when I knew that it wasn't me. I heard this voice in my head, sounded like my own internal voice, telling me that we would never make an album this good because it was the best rock and roll album in the world. And I was immediately, my real thoughts came up after that, and I was like, no, it's not. I don't like this stuff. This is devil music. I don't worship the devil. So then I thought, why would I have told myself that? I know that I wouldn't have told myself that. But anyway, the Lord, the enemy deceived me for years after that. I didn't worship him by name, really, but I definitely was acting like anything goes, still, like what I grew up in, you know. But eventually I got really broken of that, especially after I got divorced. Really, just the breakup of my marriage was probably the thing that really broke me. But even after that, I was depressed because of my divorce, and I wound up drinking enough where I got thrown in jail. That was the pivotal moment in that jail. I realized the Lord was talking to me. I was mad because I tried to walk home drunk, and the cops got me. I was mad, and then the Lord showed me that I should have been dead many times ago, you know, from driving home drunk or from all kinds of stupid things that I did. And he showed me the jail that day. It was like a little miniature prison in Norman, Oklahoma. And basically, he told me he wanted to start a prison ministry. And I wasn't even back in church yet, but I saw what he was saying, you know, that he cares about all the prisoners, and there's not too many people that are willing to go to those hard places. I deserve to be there full time anyway. So after seeing all that, you know, that really stuck with me, and I listened and obeyed. And it was a few years later, I got into a, I guess you could say, like a somewhat of a seeker-friendly church where a lot of the core members spoke in tongues, but they didn't really like share that with everybody on a Sunday morning. And so I was seeking more, and a friend from that church told me about Deliverance Ministry, told me about Everett, and she said that I wasn't ready for it yet. And I got kind of prideful about that, I think. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, how do you know I'm not ready? But it took me a whole year to get out there after she gave me the address, so I guess I wasn't ready. But eventually, I did. I think it was about 10 years ago that I came, and maybe maybe Everett remembers it better, but somewhere in there, 10 years ago. And this was after even a few years of reading my Bible every day, reading it out loud, praying in the Spirit. It's a long story, but I had gotten baptized in the Spirit as a child, like never having been in any kind of Pentecostal service. Because I believed what the Lord said about the baptism, that He would give Holy Spirit to anyone who asked. I just had that childlike faith at about age 14. But it didn't last for very long, maybe a year or two, because I didn't have anybody to do it with. I didn't have any kind of fellowship with anybody that even believed like that. So the first night I went to Everett, I went to Deliverance Ministry. Even after years of praying every day in the Spirit, reading the Word, forgiving people from my heart, I still got like a really intense level of freedom from that. And the only thing that was different was just doing the warfare. I apologize if you can't hear me very clearly on this line.
Okay, you're doing okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So anyway, that was the only thing that was different, was just doing the warfare. And I had a couple of guys that ministered to me that night, and they were very good at it. One of the guys is still there, Jack Freeman. And the other guy, Michael Pierre, I just remember them both, and I pray for them a lot. It was really probably the most pivotal moment of my life, really, in so many ways, that it just led to, and Everett said that night in the teaching what he always says to everybody. He says, you guys, if you want to, you can join us next week and be ministers. And he said that even before we got delivered. I was like, man, that's faith. And it also sounds like Jesus. He didn't send everybody to a 4-year school. He sent them out on the front lines and just to do that work. And so that was already on my heart to do that. So I just wanted to get free myself first. I knew that I needed to get free before I set anybody else free, help the Lord set people free. And so I did. I came back the next week and served pretty faithfully every Monday night for a couple of years, and then I wound up traveling to different small towns in Oklahoma to minister for long periods of time. But every time I could come back in town and stay for a while, I tried to be there on Monday night. I've seen a lot of people get a lot of radical freedom from all kinds of demons, delusions, diseases, anything evil, anything that's not from the kingdom of God, and people can get free. People get healed physically right on the spot. I didn't really have a lot of physical ailments going on, but that first night when I went, afterwards I felt as high as a kite. I mean, like, I felt like I was a balloon. Somebody better tie me to their wrist or I'm just going up.
Praise God.
Amen. And I've seen a lot of people get that kind of freedom, and Everett says that's the testimonies that he gets. And so, and I even noticed, like, I had to catch a night bus afterwards, and I noticed that everybody was reacting to me differently that night. Even it was like, you might say the people that had Holy Spirit recognized me in the Spirit right away, and they were more glad to see me. The people that had darkness in their souls were just really unhappy that I was around. Even one of the bus drivers, where these buses met, they all met in the same place, and they didn't have a number on them, so I had to ask which one went to my neighborhood, and one of the drivers was like, boy, you're not even from around here, are you? You better get on out of here. This place is dangerous for you. And I was like, dangerous for me? I'm just thinking, like, I live in the hood. I'm not scared of that. Like, plus I'm not, you know, we're not supposed to fear anything. I was like, I recognize, like, that was a spirit on that guy. And he doesn't like that I'm here. Anyway, so it just kind of opened, that one night just opened up the reality of the spiritual world to me. And I already knew because of the word that it was true, but I didn't really have that kind of encounter until then. Since then, I've seen people being held up in the air by demons or something right before they got delivered. I've seen people thrown on the ground with the death spirit. And I've seen definitely the war is real, but, you know, just like Everett always says, we have all authority over all their power, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And that's truth. I've seen that. Like, I never get afraid when I see supernatural things happening now. I have a holy reverence of the Lord, but I don't fear Satan or devils. There's no reason to fear them. They were defeated soundly by Jesus long, long ago. So anyway, it really was like the pivotal, just a huge change that happened to me that night. Maybe the biggest ever, the biggest light bulb that went off in my head. Yeah, led to a lot of amazing adventures with the Lord. I try to do deliverance or incorporate this everywhere I go, especially inner healing thing, because as Everett always teaches us that if a person doesn't allow the Lord to heal their soul from the wounds of the past, they're going to go like a dog returning to the vomit and just open those doors again. Just not worth it. Never worth it. Lord's got a good plan.
And Mark, you've traveled a lot in some interesting places, and I know you've done deliverance as the situation arose. Maybe you could share some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've traveled to Indiana and Kentucky and Tennessee. Spent the most time in Kentucky, and but even when I've kind of been to Tennessee, Nashville area several times. One of the times there, I started. The Lord just kept on revealing more things because, like Everett always taught us, the main guideline is just, you know, receive fresh fire and baptism of Holy Spirit, and then just ask the Lord to guide you step by step, whoever you're ministering with. And he knows how to chop the trees down that were not planted by him. He could save us all kinds of time and trouble if we try to do it from, you know, just from a some kind of formula that may not work as well as what he knows to do and say right in that moment. So so we've learned all kinds of things about kind of the hierarchy of the enemy's troops, and even how to do warfare against principalities. Some people think that you can't do that, but as Everett always told us, you know, we have all authority over all the power of the enemy, so it would look silly that we just have to sit and take it from principalities. But there's a way to be led by the Lord to do it rightly, so that we're not subject to some kind of counterattack, or, you know. And so much of it is about forgiving everyone and just interceding for the lost, the people that gave that principality power in that region. You have to cover them in the blood of Jesus, just like Moses covered the Israelites when they were totally out of their minds. You know, God was going to wipe them off the planet, but Moses interceded. So we have such power to bless other people with that same mercy and grace that we've been given. So I've learned from doing this, just being willing to do warfare with people that were desperate for the help. I learned a lot of just valuable things that can help people get free. And I'm believing. I go to Costa Rica a lot, and I've done a little bit of deliverance there, but I'm believing to do it in Spanish soon, or have a translator. That there's always, you know, until people are free, there's always that need. So
one thing about it, Mark, the demons seem to understand English as far as that goes. So, you know,
that's true, right?
You can address them accordingly.
Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, they seem to understand any language that is spoken. That's true. Even if the person doesn't, the demon does. Kind of another way that
I think what they understand is the authority being spoken in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Absolutely.
So when you're coming in that name, Mark, it doesn't matter what language they speak. The authority is there, and the demons have to obey.
Amen.
Mark, we're getting close to the time to getting kind of close to wind up with you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, I guess I've shared this with Everett a little bit, but just because of following his teaching that he got straight from the Lord about how to be led step by step, the Holy Spirit gave us this revelation of the courtrooms of heaven. And so I've even got a Facebook page about that called the Supreme Court of Heaven. And so if anybody's interested in that, it's just another way of really expressing the same things that we're talking about, where we don't have to be subject to the bad guys, but they are always subject to us. And we're learning how to be sons and daughters of the Most High, how to rule and reign with Him in this lifetime, which is an honor, you know. It says in the Word that we are sitting with Him, we're seated with the Lord in heavenly places already. It says that we rule and reign in this lifetime. So we're just learning how to exercise all that authority. But if anybody wants to learn more about the courtroom aspect of it, they can look that up on Facebook.
I'm looking at it.
Well, thanks, Mark.
I'm going to join that group. Thank you for coming on, Mark.
Yes, appreciate it, Mark.
Thank
God
you,
bless
Everett,
you, brother.
And thank you. God bless you. Love you, and thank you for everything you do for our benevolent King.
Well, thanks, Mark. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, and bless you, Ralph and Richard.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, Pastor, before we bring on our next caller, something he said that really touched home was he was talking about the intercession that Moses did. And how often is it in our nature to not have that compassion intercede, but to point out every transgression the person's doing instead of interceding and trying to help them overcome the transgression? And it's just it's a bad habit of our people. I know I've been guilty of myself. I've seen many people over the years be guilty of it, but they'd rather point out everything you're doing wrong instead of having intercession and trying to help you get past the problem. So, great testimony, Mark. Thank you for coming on. And we have Laura there. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Everett.
Glad you called in. Hi.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, if you could give some history on yourself, and then how you got born again, and then even learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you've had in that area. So go right ahead and share.
Okay, well, just bear with me. Sometimes I get a little excited. I talk kind of fast. So anyway, I, way back at the beginning, even before birth, I have learned that I was conceived out of wedlock, and that in itself had a major part play throughout my life. Meaning, Well, with that said, my dad was mad. My dad was mad that my mom was pregnant. And so he married her because, you know, he thought that was the proper thing to do. And between the two of them, drugs, alcoholism, I mean, I've had generations of it in my family. And my grandparents wound up raising me and my little sister from the time I was four on up, mostly. And my grandma, she's just always been the most godly woman I've ever seen or met in my life. And her faith, I mean, I remember seeing her fasting as a small child. I remember seeing her a lot of struggles, but I also seen miracles. I also seen the light through it as well. I was blessed to have them as my protectors growing up. And as I got older, I was just different. I was different from everybody. I had a sense of things, didn't always know how to explain it, but I was introduced to drugs, and I learned real quickly that was a good distraction from what I couldn't change, what I couldn't control, and what I couldn't even wrap my head around. As I got older and I've never been married. I'm 40 years old, never been married, never had children. Always wanted that more than anything in the world. And that the marriage thing seemed to be the only sacred thing I had left. And I remember thinking that many times throughout my adulthood, you know, that's the only thing that I have left to hang on to that holds any kind of anything sacred. And me being a compassionate person, fun-loving person, I loved hard, just as hard and tight as I could, almost like in a twisted sense. But the drugs became more more eventful, and I fell in love. I fell in love with a man that I just put everything into him. When I told him that I gave myself to him, I meant it with my heart and mind, with everything. And you know, we kind of had a history that was no bueno, because he was married. But I thought that a love like that would just, you know, make it through anything and last forever. But what I've learned is that my idea of love and his or other people's idea of love are two different things. And I'll sum it up. I got my heart broken. I felt like he was getting preoccupied somewhere else. I wasn't good enough. I just couldn't get right. And he kept me sober. He kept me sober and straight for a long time. But then all of that love that I thought that he had for me was changing, and it wasn't unconditional. It was convenient, it felt. Anyway, I have had experiences with physical, demonic things, and when we split up, I spent the majority of last year living out of my car. And I learned that it was actually cheaper for me to stay on drugs so I wouldn't get hungry, but so I could feed my dog. My dog is like my kid. And no matter how hard I fought it, it wouldn't go away. I couldn't think clearly. I couldn't go a day without crying. I couldn't go minutes without crying for months. I would try so hard just to have a good day with him, so maybe I wouldn't have to sleep in my car, so I could go home and sleep in my own bed. And things would go good for a little bit, and then just the craziest, off-the-wall things. If anything could go bad, it did. it wasn't just a little bad, it was terrible bad. And you know, I stopped praying, I stopped calling out to God, unless I needed him, unless we were fighting, unless I was cold or hungry or something, I would try to cry out to God. And because I was so far away from him and I had idols, I felt godless. I felt godless and hopeless. And I took all the strength I had, to even leave that county. And I fled towards the Panhandle where I was raised. And my dad, who doesn't live at his house, he lives in a different town. But anyway, I lived there for 2.5 weeks without anyone knowing I was there, because I needed shelter so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. I needed a break. So, I mean, it was that or death. You know, I mean, death was knocking on my door every minute of every day anyway. And, so I was there at the house by myself without anyone knowing. And I got his computer, and I used my cell phone as a hotspot for internet. And I pulled up deliverance prayers. And I would read these prayers out loud, and I could feel power in them, but I still wasn't right enough. I didn't know that I had authority. Because I did have a water baptism 7 or 8 years ago, and I went back to the things that I had been forgiven of. So I've been back and forth, and I'd go back something and it'd come on even stronger, and then it was just back and forth, but even at my dad's, and when I had to tell them that I was there, I had to tell my grandma first, because I know that my dad would have just blew his stack. I told my grandma that I didn't have a choice. You know, I told her, I gave her an idea of how bad, it was. And I was tired of being cold. But anyway, so I was... Even while trying to read deliverance prayers, my dad had a 30-30, and he had a couple boxes of shells. And the man that I was so in love with, if we had a good day, it was a good day for me, or it was a good moment. But then, like, when he would not answer or call me back or things of that sort, it was just more than I could handle. And so I saved one shell, and that was going to be the shell that took me out, because my dad had also told me that the Lord couldn't hear my prayers. He told me that I was wasting my time. He told me that, that's what he told me, that he was supposed to shy from me. But anyway.
Laura, how did you finally find out about deliverance ministries and to seek help?
Well, I was able to move to Oklahoma City, and the destruction got worse, internally, spiritually, mentally, you name it. One day, I had the flu. I was really, really sick, and I decided I needed a new Bible. That was the only hope I had, and that, I mean, I know God is out. I knew he was out there somewhere, so I went to a Christian bookstore, and I only had just a few dollars and some change, So the guy behind the counter, he was trying to get a more expensive Bible down to my price range, and he couldn't do it. Well, in the meantime, there was another gentleman there with his son, we're kind of at the counter at the same time, and he kind of stepped over and he said, "Well, I'll cover whatever she don't have," and I was like, "Oh my God, thank you." You know, and then so I turned and was looking at the crosses and the necklaces, and they told me how much it was, so I was counting my change. And then he reached over my shoulder and he handed the guy behind the counter his credit card. He paid for it, and I nearly broke right there, because for the first time in a long time, it was I had hope. you know, I really needed that God moment. But I turned and I told him thank you so much. And, you know, I went to shake his hand, you know, and it was kind of a hug, kind of a held me there for a second. And when he stepped back, he was really emotional, and all he could tell me was that Jesus loves me and that he will heal me. And okay, so after that moment, I learned that he was military and that he was getting involved in deliverance ministries. And so I knew that I was at the right place at the right time, because when he said deliverance, I thought, oh my Lord, that was the key word. Okay, where, when, what? And so it come about where I got to meet Everett, and I got to meet him. And the things I was delivered of, I mean, I am in no way the same person I was even a month ago. Not a month ago. When it comes to the demonic side of things, I knew, and I am this
well, Lauren,
new heart that
were,
I have.
You were with Laura. You were with one of the ladies that first night.
Yes.
How did that go?
Oh, that was incredible. That was incredible. Her gifts, the way you put us together was nothing short of God in itself. She was able to deliver me of the generational curses, of the witchcraft, of the native curses, and I had plenty on me. She was able to take me through prayers, and the part that got me the most was that conception. God revealed to me that I was not a mistake, even though
she took you through to the conception exercise where Jesus is directing a particular sperm.
Yes.
Amen. A particular sperm with special gifts, special talents, and you were not an accident at all.
No. No, and for the first time in my life, I felt true love. I felt the love of God, and how he does have plans for me, and how my poverty-stricken just life that I've had for so long, those days are over. Those days are over. You know, and I learned also to choose life. Every day we're given a choice. Choose life. I mean, it's either life or death, you know? And I choose a life. I hurt for so long, so bad. I'm not going back. I'm not turning back. And I would like to share my church experience last Sunday. After deliverance, I went to a church I'd never been to before, and there was a lady directly behind me who had been probably 92-93% burnt, you know, and I could feel that she was insecure, you know, and she was thinking, oh, you know, everybody's just staring at me, and she felt so ugly and so just scarred up. And I greeted her, and then a few minutes into church or the ministry, the Spirit came over me, and he revealed to me what she looked like beneath them scars. And she is so beautiful. And all I could do was sit there in amazement. And I prayed that the Lord would show her, you know, that she could feel just as beautiful as I seen her and as beautiful as she is. You know, and maybe someday our paths can cross again. And I believe that she can be healed. I know that God is almighty, and he through at the right place at the right time. I believe she could be healed of that, and she can see how beautiful she is. I thought it was beautiful that she was just there. but
And here you are already ministering to others, Laura. If you're getting ministry now, you're ministering to others.
Well, yes, thank God. And I really don't necessarily intend to, but I know that I've already been a help to some people. I was able to help just over the phone this morning. I was able to help find or help shelter a girl who got really badly beat up last night and a gun pulled on her, and her best friend drove 3 hours to go get her, to bring her here to a safe place. And through my counseling, which I will stand and say with happiness and a smile on my face, I was able to make one phone call and provide this beaten, broken woman a place of rest, you know. And I was able to tell her to not worry about a job right now. Don't worry about anything. Trust in the Lord. Trust where I'm sending you, because these women know that a broken woman like that, you can't function. She hasn't even been able to process what just happened, and that she's been uprooted from what she's familiar with. You have to process that. You have to come to grips with that. But that's really hard to do if you're stuck under a bridge. That's hard to do if you're somewhere where they don't even believe in God. That's hard to do when you're hungry, you know. And I just had to reassure her to just please go here. They will help you. They know that they're not going to kick you out tomorrow because you're not able to pay the electric bill. You know, get
Laura,
get
in the last, we have just a few minutes remaining, so to try to sum up on yourself there, the changes you've seen in your life, anything else you'd like to share along those lines, and go ahead.
The number one change is I am full of life. Now, every single minute of every day, I have life, and I've got happy, and I've got joy, and I have the Holy Spirit. God healed my broken heart when, during deliverance ministries, He took my heart and every fragmented piece of my soul, and He brought it all together. He brought it all together to make me one. Not many, but I'm one now. And I can talk and not just boo-hoo, and that's all I used to be able to do, but it is gone. What was then is no more. And I am all about deliverance. I'm not grounded here. Wherever God wants me to go, I'm going. And I know I'm not going back to what I used to go, or what I used to know. I can't even. My God, okay, my God, your God, He wants to supersize my life. I mean, like McDonald's, they want to supersize your fries. Well, my God wants to supersize my life, and He is. I mean, it is already happening, and I receive it.
And Laura, you're working now. You've got a job, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had to undergo some counseling and DOT recommendations, because I've had CDL, but I, you know, kind of sabotaged the UA because I knew I needed help. And the people that hired me, they said it was kind of a God thing, and so they've helped me through it. They've stood beside me with it, and now it's come to pass. These last 3 months, I have exceeded the quota, and I got my license back. I can go nationwide now. I can haul anything I want to, and still go to any church I want to, meet new people, and share my story.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you so much, Laura, for sharing that, and what an encouragement for others that you know, we've all come from somewhere. We've all had situations, but it's our Jesus that leads us through it and to freedom and healing, and you can get on to living life and life abundant. So Thanks so much, Laura, for sharing all that. You're a blessing.
Well,
you
thank you.
Gifts.
I want to thank you guys, and I want to thank Mr. Davis for you guys. You guys are soldiers of Christ, and thank you for coming into my life and showing me a different way. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and you will be ministering to many others. High adventure starts now. Praise God. Thank you, Laura, for sharing.
Well, men, what a broadcast. Wow. We are almost out of time, but what an excellent broadcast tonight.
Yes. Praise God.
Their testimony is so common with what's tormenting people in America today, with the drugs and alcohol. And it just goes to show that there is hope. Hope is alive in Jesus. And just awesome that the Holy Spirit worked in both their lives, pointed in the right place, the right time, had the right people there, that they could get set free. So all glory goes to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And just, wow.
Praise God.
Awesome. Praise God.
Well, blessings to you all.
I'll talk to you, everybody, next week. And we thank you for joining us this evening, everybody. Have a good evening. God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.